Welcome to each and every one today. Very happy to be together. Beautiful day we've been blessed with. And then the blessing of being together with brothers and sisters and opportunity to worship. Our Heavenly Father, there's no greater blessing that we have. And so we appreciate the presence of each one. Does anyone need a Bible today? All right. We're in 3 John. We'll wrap this up today. So ask you to join with us in that study. Last Lord's Day, we had just kind of gotten into this third letter and looked at the first few verses there, verses 1 through 4. And just a brief review, and then we'll pick up with verse 5 this morning. But this was written to Gaius, not sure which Gaius. There are more than one mentioned in the New Testament. As far as I know, we do not know which Gaius he is writing to here. This letter is similar in style and writing and some of the content to the first and second letters. And the author does not identify himself, although it's almost without certain that it is the Apostle John, just because of the style of the writing that he uses and similarity to some of his other writings. And so this is pretty much given that this was written by the Apostle John. He identifies himself as the elder, referring probably to his age and experience and maturity, and would have lended some extra weight to the message that he has, I think, for the church here, the Christians that he is writing to. The message is the important thing that we want to look at. And Paul goes on and gives us a very great approval for Gaius and the things that he had heard concerning him. And from the way this is written, it seems that John had received some kind of report from someone that had come to where he was and had brought him news of the brethren there, and Gaius in particular, and a couple of the other brethren too we'll get to here in a little bit. And he was very thankful that he got the report that Gaius and some of the other brethren were remaining in the truth and the love of the truth. And this is the basis of our love for each other. The truth abides in us, will be with us forever. The truth does not change, and we need to do this as well, walk in love and walk in truth and remain in those. John's prayer for Gaius was that he might prosper in all things. He mentions that he might be in health, and I think this would, he wanted him to prosper in health and also as his soul prospered. So this was a twofold thing that he mentions here for his wish and prayer for Gaius, that he might be healthy in a physical way and that he might continue to prosper as his soul was prospering, that he might have growth, continued growth in his soul's work. Our soul's work and prosperity is shown by the things that we do in a day-by-day basis, that we are renewed in our mind, in our spirit. Our spirit bearing witness, or his spirit rather, bearing witness with our spirit that we are a child of God. John prays for Gaius to have physical health and continued soul health, something that we could pray for as well, I think, that not only that we pray for physical health for ourselves and others, and I think that it would be good for us to pray also for our soul's health and for the soul's health of others. The work is that they might continue to live in the truth that they had received from the apostles' teaching of John and maybe other apostles. And it is the thing that he wants them to remain in, is the things that he has emphasized several times in the writings of John here, that they might remain true to the things that they had received. in a belief in God as the Creator and as the eternal God, and Jesus as the Son of God, and to remain true to the commands that God has given us and Jesus has given us and the apostles had given us. John says that he had no greater joy or comfort to know that and to get a report that his children were walking in the truth. There were many opportunities for these brethren to be led astray in the false teachers of the day, just as there are for us today. False teachers, not quite the same as they were then and the things that they were teaching, but there certainly is many false teachers out there. We need to take this to heart as well, remain true to the love of the truth, and not let ourselves to be compromised as there's many opportunities out there for us to compromise in the truth and the things that we believe and practice. And that's kind of where we got to. Any comments that you have on these verses before we go on this morning, down through verse 4? Okay, let's go ahead then and read verses 5 through 8. Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers who have borne witness of your love before the church. If you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you will do well, because they went forth for his name's sake, taking nothing from the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we may become fellow workers of the truth, for the truth. John continues on writing here to Gaius, he calls him beloved again. This was a term of his feeling for Gaius, and we don't know how much relationship that John had with Gaius, but enough that he was a beloved brother, and John expresses it in that way. And he continues his praise for his faithfulness and for his good works. The report that John had received from the brethren concerning this, they had come to visit John and had borne witness before the church where John was of the love that Gaius had, of his faith, and his continued works through love. This was the basis for Gaius' work, that he had a love for the brethren. His faith and love were demonstrated by helping those men that were traveling about. It seems that there were men who were traveling about at this time preaching the gospel, and Gaius had been supportive of these brethren who were traveling about preaching. They were not taking anything from preaching to the Gentiles, did not want to be a burden to them. But they hoped as they visited different congregations, I guess, that they would be sent on their way with some kind of support for their work. That they would help them in with monetary help, food, support, encouragement for this work that they are doing. Gaius is commended and encouraged for doing this, and John wants them to continue this. It is a godly work. John says it is worthy of God. It is serving God. So that's the basis for his encouragement to Gaius, is that this was a good work, a godly work. It is a good thing to receive these evangelists, preachers that were traveling about, and help them in this way. And in so doing, John says, we become, then by doing that, we become fellow workers with them in sharing with their work that they were doing and supporting them in that way. I think this is a pattern for us today, that we would support those that preach the gospel, give them support that they need, give them encouragement in whatever ways that we might be able to help them. The men that are devoting their lives and time and efforts to preaching the gospel are worthy of being supported in this way. John kind of gets this point across to Gaius that he is very thankful for Gaius' work in this way and encourages him to continue in that work, because it is a good work. It is a godly work. And it is for us today also, I think. It is a good work for us. It is a godly work, and it is worthy of our support and our help for those that travel and preach the gospel. Your comments on these verses. Brother Jack has a comment.
I'm reminded that after his correction, Apollos was also sent on his way. And it wasn't just to kick him out of the area, but rather we read in Acts 18, but when he wished to cross to Achaia, the brothers encouraged him and wrote to the disciples to welcome him. When he arrived, he greatly helped those who through grace had believed. He returned the favor many times over for their love, their encouragement, and their support.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Ed has a comment.
I would just say that, as we examine our lives and ourselves and our gifts and blessings, that we say, what can I do to help? And this is one thing we all could do. And to open our homes, to open our storerooms, and to help these people that serve the Lord. And it's so worthy that we're called fellow helpers in the truth after a godly sort. This is the sort of way that God is very happy with. And we do honor him, I think, when we help those in this kind of way who are doing the Lord's work, even if we can't speak a word and have very little abilities otherwise, to share our bread, to share our blessings with those who do, is co-workers in the truth.
Yeah, yeah, very good. Thank you. It has a reward. It's a godly work, and it's a good work. And John was thankful for the work that Gaius was doing in this regard and encourages him to continue and to... they went forth for his namesake, and the namesake of Jesus Christ. And they didn't want to be a burden to those that they were preaching to, but John encourages them to receive those brethren and the ones that are preaching and help them. And as Ed says, fellow workers for the truth, and that's the important thing, for the truth. Anyone else? Okay. The next few verses here are quite different from what John has been speaking about. As much praise as he had for Gaius, he has almost the same condemnation for the next brother that he's going to mention here, and beginning in verse 9. We'll read down 9 through verse 12. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, does not receive us. Therefore, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds, which he does, prating against us with malicious words. And not content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren, and forbids those who wish to, putting them out of the church. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God, but he who does evil has not seen God. Demetrius has a good testimony from all and from the truth itself, and we also bear witness, and you know that our testimony is true. Diotrephes, I guess it would be interesting if we had a little more information than what we have revealed for us here, but we have enough to know what Diotrephes was doing, I think, here. John had written a letter to the church here, wherever this was. We're not sure where it was, but Diotrephes did not receive that letter, did not take it to heart, what John had written to them about helping those that were traveling about and preaching the gospel, that they might that they might give them the support that they need. So Diotrephes was against this, did not receive the letter, ignored it from what we're given here, it seems like. And Diotrephes, his main problems were that he was ambitious, apparently, and prideful. He was lifted up with pride, and he wanted to have the preeminence among them, among the church here. And he does not receive us. He does not receive our message. He has ignored our letter. John says, okay, if I come, therefore, I will call to mind his deeds, which he does, prating. And I didn't look it up, but I'm not sure I remember seeing that word before. Prating against us with malicious words, or speaking in a way that is would put John down, would try to convince others that John's letter was not important and we didn't need to take any pay any attention to it. And he is not content with that, but he himself does not receive the brethren, these men that were traveling about. He does not do the things that John has encouraged them to do. He did not support them. He did not give them encouragement in any way that he should have. But he forbid others in this church, apparently, from doing the same thing. Even going so far as to put them out of the church. Diotrephes was doubly at fault. He not only ignored John's letter, but he actively worked against it and what he was doing and what he was saying. So he was a man of at least some influence here. We don't know exactly, I guess, what his position in the church here was, but he was a man of some influence at least, and was able to not only speak against John and what John had encouraged them to do, but did not let other people do the work either, and even going so far as to put them out of the church. Now, exactly how all this came about and how he was able to do this in this church, but apparently he had enough influence that he was able to do this. We don't know how Gaius was doing at this particular time, but from what John had said previously, he didn't go along with Diotrephes. So there may have been some, well, not may have been, I'm sure there was conflict here between Gaius and Diotrephes at this time. And so we don't know a lot about how all this came about, but we do know what we need to know about Diotrephes. And he was a man that was prideful and wanted to have the preeminence in the church, and was able to influence many others, apparently in the church here, in what he was doing. John's exhortation for Gaius and for the brethren was not to imitate what is evil. And this was evil work that Diotrephes was doing. This was not right. This was evil. And this is evil work, John says. Do not imitate what Diotrephes is doing, but simply imitate what is good. And John, as he has done several times already in his writing, he says, what is good is of God. Pretty simple, but very powerful at the same time. He who does evil has not seen God, has not truly tasted of the heavenly gift, to borrow from the writing of Hebrews, has not tasted of the heavenly gift, has not tasted of the good word of God. So this is a person that was doing evil and had not really seen God in the way that he should have, and accepted the things that were there for him, tasting of the heavenly gift and tasting of the good word of God. Had Diotrephes done this in the way that he should, he would not have been behaving the way he was behaving at this time. Then the man Demetrius is mentioned here also. We do not know, I guess, much else about this man either. It is possible that maybe he delivered the letter that John wrote, although we don't know that for sure, but I guess that's a possibility. He had a good report from all and from the truth itself. And I think that's an important thing that John says here, because you not only want a good report of all, but you also want a good report in the truth. If you have a good report among people, but yet you don't have the truth, then that good report really doesn't mean a whole lot. You may have a good report from people in the world and from worldly thoughts and goods, but if you don't have a good report from the truth itself, then it really doesn't mean a whole lot. It is a vain report, a good report that we might have. This man Demetrius had a good report from all men, from God, the truth, and from John himself. So John is giving us again a personal testimony of the goodness of Demetrius and the things that he was doing that were good and for the cause of the Lord. And John is appreciative of that, and he gives him a commendation on that. And I think that, again, this is something that we can look at maybe more than we do, to give a good report on people that are doing good and beneficial works, and those that are working in the truth, and to give them a good report and encouragement in those works. What are your comments now down verses 9 through 12? There's a lot in those verses. So if you have something you'd like to say on those.
I don't know who said it or where I got it, but above Diotrephes, what's this? Yeah, the Diotrephes. Above his name I have that he's a controlling person. And I think that's one word that just irritates us, because when somebody is wanting to control you, that means you can't be controlled by Jesus. And there's another thing that I have written in here, is that he puts himself first. That means that he doesn't have the mind of Christ. He has his mind, and he has what he wants to do, and he's doing it.
Very good. Thank you.
Is Gaius in the same congregation as Diotrephes? It sounds like maybe there's two different groups there, because Gaius is able to do everything the right way, and Diotrephes is trying to get rid of anybody who wants to do the right thing.
Yeah. I do not know. I did not consider that. I guess I considered that they were in the same congregation, although I do not know that that's... I think there would definitely have been a conflict between Gaius and Diotrephes if they were in the same group. But, you know, it just goes to show that a person is personally responsible for what they're doing. Even though Diotrephes was here and he had a lot of influence among the brethren there, the ones that did not want to go along with Diotrephes didn't have to. That he didn't have enough power that he could control everybody. But it's possible they were different congregations, I guess. But I never thought about that, I guess.
The other thing that I wondered, didn't wonder about, but I just noticed that John uses the word, you know, when he introduces himself, the elder. That gives him authority. Yeah. And Diotrephes didn't like authority from other people. Yeah. And he was, he didn't acknowledge John's authority.
Yeah, John had the apostolic authority to write the letter, to encourage them. And he infers here that when he comes, he's going to confront Diotrephes and so that he knows what he's doing is not right, and to see if he can turn the situation around one way or the other, I guess. It would have to be done for sure. Ed?
Kind of like what you have said, we really don't know anything other than just what's written here. But I've always looked at this from the standpoint that all three of these men were known to each other. And maybe Gaius was having some weakness or indecision about what he should do. And so John is giving his testimony. And Gaius is one we should not follow, and Demetrius is one that should. Now, as far as authority, you know, Gaius was known to John, probably to all the people that in that area, wherever Gaius was. And so he had that good testimony. John is credible. He has the authority, and he has the testimony of his life. And also by this time, probably these people all had many of the copies of the Gospels, of Paul's letters, and all the general epistles. So there was also that with which we could judge a person. And so John's bringing to bear his personal credibility, the scripture, the truth, and saying that should be how you decide, not personality, not charismatic flamboyancy, which people follow that over the truth today. And I think this is just a testimony that says, be sure who you believe. You know, we can always trust God's word. And that's what we have today. And I think that's a big message here.
They were not lacking at this time in knowing what the truth was. It had been preached, it had been taught, and Zed says some of the letters are probably available by now, the Gospels. So they were not lacking from knowing what the truth was. Some of them were lacking in following the truth, but not from knowing the truth. And it seems to me that someone had traveled where John was from this church and given John a report of what was going on there. He had given him a report on Gaius, on Diotrephes, and Demetrius. It seems to me that he had gotten this report, and that's one of the reasons for his writing another letter. He had written one. He writes this letter now, I think, to address some of this as well. But appreciate that. Anybody else? Paul?
I think this is another, but one of the indications of the falling away, where men, instead of following the teaching of the apostles or following Jesus, that people are starting to follow men instead of the truth.
Yes, it had already begun, this falling away, and John talks about it in a couple of these letters, at least, about the Antichrist and those that opposed Christ, and was the prevalent teaching of the day of the Gnostics. So, very good. Appreciate it. Anyone else? Okay, concluding here, verses 13 and 14. I had many things to write, but I do not wish to write to you with pen and ink. But I hope to see you shortly, and we shall speak face to face. Peace to you. Our friends greet you. Greet the friends by name. So John had a lot more things on his mind than what he has written in this short letter. And but he thought it good to be able to visit them. And it was his hope that he might be able to come and visit them shortly and be able to speak to them face to face. Writing a letter is a good thing, but speaking face to face with a person is better, I think. John certainly had the authority as an apostle to confront Diotrephes and the evil work that he was doing in the church. And his first letter was ignored. A face to face meeting would allow him to have the opportunity to confront the evil practices that Diotrephes was doing, and hopefully to correct those and turn Diotrephes around. And also, I think, in this face-to-face meeting, he would be able then again to encourage the church here, encourage Gaius in his work, and to those that had been put out of the church, to restore them in the work that they were not doing because of Diotrephes. And so he had things that he wanted to accomplish, and a face-to-face meeting was a good way that John wanted to do this. We don't know how far away John was from this congregation, but considering John's age by this time, we think anyway he was well advanced, that they would not have been too far, probably, maybe, that he would be able to make the trip okay and be able to visit with them. He concludes with, "Peace to you. Our friends greet you," the friends of John and those that know the congregation here, and greet the friends there by name, all of those that John knew that he wanted to send greetings to. So, your thoughts on these concluding verses here, Ed?
I kind of like the idea in verse 13 that if we look at the Gospel of John, John ends that basically saying, I could write many more things. I could tell you many more things. And if I was to write everything, the heavens wouldn't be big enough for a scroll. Yeah. But I'm writing you enough that you may know the truth and believe, and believing might have eternal life. You know, and from that aspect, I look at how our Christian maturity comes to be. How do we grow up into a perfect man after the image of Christ? And it's a little here, a little there, more upon more upon more. And I look at how we spend our time. You know, if you was to come and study God's Word for 1 hour on a Wednesday night, in a lifetime, that's a lot of hours. You hear a lot of things. I know that in my time in the audience, I have heard things that have changed my thinking and have strengthened me and inspired me. And I think, you know, we're not going to get it all in one big pill that we swallow, but it's a lifetime. And like John says here, it's relationship. It's time spent with you, or in our case, time spent in the Word. And that's how we develop. And it's, I like what we've all heard many times. You know, the guy that says, I'd give 20 years of my life to know what you know. And the answer is, that's what it takes. Yeah. A little here and a little there. There's always more to learn. More to know.
Exactly. Very good. Thank you. Appreciate that. Nina has a comment.
I just love at the bottom, in 15, he says, greet the friends, each by name. Yeah. I think that is so awesome. God knows our names, and he wants our names mentioned. And he'll pronounce it right.
Good comment, Nina. Anyone else? Appreciate it. Well, we've got 2 minutes left here, and I know you all like pop quiz. So we'll just throw it open here for just one question. What are some of the main themes mentioned in these three letters? And there are many. These three letters are packed with a lot of things that John had to say. So just throw out anything that comes to your mind that we've talked about that John wrote about in these letters. Truth, love. Obey, yeah.
Abide,
yeah. Remain in the truth, yeah. False teachers. Talks about false teachers a lot and the importance of not yielding into them. This letter, last letter, he talked about pride. Being lifted up with pride in what you're doing. Yeah, keeping his commandments, righteousness, remain steadfast.
Be a helper.
Yeah, be a helper. Very good. Love the brotherhood. Yeah. Yeah. Fellowship. Knowing that we might know. He mentions that several times, that we might know and that we might be assured of our eternal life, that we might know that we have eternal life. Okay. Very good. Thank you. Appreciate it.